For the last two Sundays, our gospel readings have been from a section of Luke's gospel that deals with the point in Jesus' ministry known as the Holy Week. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on a Sunday, only to be crucified that next Friday. Now, last Sunday's gospel reading, as well as today's gospel reading, deal with the middle of Holy Week, when Jesus was still teaching at the temple, and the Jewish leaders were still trying to turn the Jewish people against Jesus. Now, with that understood, last Sunday's gospel reading ended with these words. The teachers of the law and the chief priests were unable to trap Jesus in what he had said there in public. And astonished by his answer, they became silent. Now you need to know that the teachers of the law and the chief priests who tried to trap Jesus in last Sunday's gospel reading belonged to a group known as the Pharisees. And you've heard of them before. The Pharisees believed that God would have mercy on you and he would reward you based on how well you obeyed his laws. And as Pharisees, of course, they believed that they had obeyed God's laws well enough to be worthy of his mercy and blessing. But that's exactly why the Pharisees hated Jesus and his teaching, because Jesus taught that all people, including the Pharisees, are sinners who deserve God's wrath. Jesus also taught that he had come into the world to save sinners, and that if sinners would repent and trust in him for salvation, they would be rescued from God's wrath. Now, by teaching people to trust in him for salvation, Jesus was claiming to be God himself. And the Pharisees refused to believe this. So now you know why the Pharisees were trying to find some way to trap Jesus. They were trying their hardest to expose Jesus as a false teacher so they would have grounds to arrest him and hopefully kill him. But every attempt they made to trap Jesus failed. And so, as Luke says, the Pharisees became silent. However, in today's gospel reading, another group of Jewish leaders attempt to discredit Jesus. And this group was known as the Sadducees. Now, even though both the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus, you need to know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not like each other either. There's two reasons for that. The first reason they did not like each other is that the Pharisees accepted the entire Old Testament as God's word, whereas the Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and they rejected the rest. Now, the second reason that the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like each other is that the Pharisees believed in the existence of angels, and they also believed in the resurrection of the body, but the Sadducees denied both of those things. In fact, like some modern-day liberal Christians, the Sadducees rejected core teachings of God's word. Therefore, it's not surprising that the Sadducees also hated Jesus, because Jesus insisted that people believe all the teachings of the entire Old Testament. And of course, that offended the Sadducees, who rejected most of the Old Testament. And so in today's gospel reading, we see how they also try to discredit Jesus. And they attempt to do this by trying to show that the whole idea of a physical bodily resurrection is ridiculous. They're hoping that if they can show people how ridiculous such a thought would be, then they would discredit Jesus, because Jesus was teaching a physical resurrection. So listen to what Luke writes about how the Sadducees try to trap Jesus. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with the question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless, the second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Do you see what they're trying to do? First, they use a teaching of Moses from the book of Deuteronomy, one of the first five books of the Bible, which were the only scriptures the Sadducees accepted. Secondly, the teaching they use has to do with command from Moses, known as the Levirate Law. The Levirate Law commanded a man to marry his dead brother's wife if they had no children. The purpose of this law was to care for the widow, but also to ensure that the dead brother's family line would continue in Israel. Now please understand, this law was given only to the people of Israel and only for a temporary period in history. So it no longer applies to us today. But the reason the Sadducees refer to this particular law is that they use it to suggest a hypothetical situation where a woman ends up marrying seven different men in her lifetime, taking a new husband after the previous one dies. And then, after they present this hypothetical situation, they ask Jesus this question. Jesus, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Now please remember, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the body. They believed that you died and that was the end. No more existence. Now, they knew that Jesus taught that there was going to be a resurrection of the body. So, by asking Jesus which man would be this woman's husband at the resurrection, they hoped to show that the teaching of the resurrection itself was nonsense, and thereby discredit Jesus and prove him to be a false teacher. But how does Jesus answer them? Listen again to what Luke records. The people of this age, says Jesus, marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. So, how does Jesus' response discredit the Sadducees and show them to be false teachers? Well, first, Jesus points out that because the Sadducees deny Scripture and don't believe in the resurrection, they fail to distinguish between life in this world and life in the world to come. For example, even though people marry in this life, and sometimes people marry more than once, according to Jesus, there will be no marriage after the resurrection. Now, this does not mean that after the resurrection you will not know the person to whom you were married in this life, because the Bible is clear that at the resurrection all believers will know each other. It's just that in the life of the world to come, our relationships with each other will be different. We will all be brothers and sisters in Christ. In addition, Jesus points out that after the resurrection, we will never die again. We will live forever, just like the angels. And also, please note, Jesus does not say that we become angels after we die. Instead, Jesus says that we are like the angels in the sense that just as the angels live forever, so will we. By the way, on a side note, when Jesus mentions angels, he thereby rubs it into the Sadducees and says they're wrong about that too. By denying angels, they're false teachers. Now, having said that, Jesus then goes on to use a scripture from the first five books of the Bible. Remember, those were the only books of the Bible the Sadducees would consider valid. Jesus uses an example from the first five books of the Bible to prove the resurrection and eternal life. Now, he could have used many other passages from other parts of the Old Testament, but remember, the Sadducees wouldn't listen to those, so he specifically chooses a scripture from Genesis, one of the books that the Sadducees would accept. Jesus points out that in the account of Moses in the burning bush, God revealed himself as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now here's the thing. All these men had died before Moses was born. And yet God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus' commentary on that is this. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. What do we learn from this? Here we see that physical death is not the end of our existence, as the Sadducees wrongly taught. The Bible teaches that when our bodies die, our spirit or our soul goes to be with Christ. As Paul said in our first reading, to die is gain. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Now, this is what theologians call the intermediate state. Why do they call it that? Well, because even though our spirits go to be with Christ when we die, that state of the believer is temporary. It is intermediate. We will not spend eternity as disembodied spirits. That's why Paul goes on to say in the book of Philippians that when Christ returns, he will raise our bodies, and those resurrected bodies will be transformed. We will have physical bodies, but they will be perfect and they will be sinless. And that, my friends, is how we will spend eternity. Now, we don't know exactly what those resurrected bodies will be like, but we do know that our bodies will be like Christ's body, perfect and holy. Now, after Jesus corrected the error of the Sadducees, did you notice that some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees responded like this? Well said, teacher! That's so ironic. These were the same Pharisees who wanted to kill Jesus. But on this one point, they liked what Jesus said because they agreed with him about the resurrection and the angels, and they liked it that Jesus proved the Pharisees wrong on both of those, proved the Sadducees wrong on both of those points. But sadly, the Pharisees were hypocrites. They were willing to pick out certain teachings of Jesus that they liked. But when they didn't like what Jesus said, they rejected it. Sound familiar? The devil tempts us to do the same thing today. Oh, he would like us to reject the entire Bible, but if he can't get us to do that, then here's what the devil tempts us to do. The devil tempts us to go through the Bible and treat it like a buffet. The devil wants us to pick out certain passages that we like, and then ignore or reject other passages of Scripture that we don't like. But my friends, when we do this, and this practice is very common today, when we do this, We're pretending to be God, deciding for ourselves what is good and what is evil. In fact, every time we sin, that's what we're doing. We're telling God that we know better than Him. And my friends, we deserve eternity in hell because of this evil. But the good news I have for you is that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. Instead, we get to be with Christ, as Paul said, because God's Son came into the world to seek and to save the lost. The reason Jesus rebukes our sin, the reason Jesus corrects our false teaching, the reason He calls us to Himself is that He longs to forgive us and give us eternal life with Him. And the reason that Jesus can forgive us is that He willingly suffered the damnation we deserve. The damnation we deserve for our sin and our false teaching, Jesus suffered that on the cross. And after dying in our place of damnation, Jesus then conquered death. He rose again, and He did this for us. By His resurrection, we also have the promise that we will rise again and live forever as God's dearly loved children. My friends, you can come to Jesus with all your sin, with all your errors, and you can know that you are God's forgiven child because of His death and resurrection for you. That's why the Apostle John could write these comforting words for you who believe in Jesus. He says to you, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. And if you are God's children, and you are through faith in Jesus, then remember, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And that means not even death can separate you from the hope you have in Jesus. Because of Jesus, you are now God's dearly loved child. Not only do you get to live to His glory in this life, but you get to live to His glory for all eternity. Along with the Apostle Paul, you can say to live as Christ and to die as gain. When you die, you get to depart and be with Christ. But that's not the end. One day Jesus will return. He will resurrect your body, transformed, sinless and holy. Your soul will rejoin your resurrected body, and you will spend eternity with God in the new creation He will give us on that day. And we have that hope, my friends. Because our God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transforms our hearts and minds, give us His peace unto eternal life. Amen.